Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday, October 16th, 2024. It's time to wake up with AI here with Nico and George. How you fellas doing today?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, good. Good. Ready to rock and roll. I'm sitting here in anticipation because at the very beginning, Nico decided to drop a bomb right before you were going to say, good morning, wake up. Now I'm worried about what we're going to talk about today. Yeah.
I'm like, geez. Thanks, Nico. When is it not exciting? If you're saying it today.
Every day, man. Every
hang
day.
On to your butts. What do you got exactly. For us? What are we waking up to today?
What rabbit hole am I going to go down the next 7 days?
I think this one is probably one of the more interesting. They're all interesting to me, but this one I think is more interesting to listeners and viewers because it is like way more probable for them. And, you know, I know that we spend a lot of time talking about like AI from a utility perspective. We talk about AI from like a philosophical perspective, but we're getting into the age where AI is making it into the device. So we're getting into the device age and it's becoming not only part of like a companion part of your life, but it's also becoming like an advisor part of your life, especially if you're leveraging any sort of the voice modes that are available. You have a really good understanding for what it's like to kind of work with one of these models. What's happening now is something I've been looking forward to. It was something that they have been kind of cracking into for years. Now that we have the tech to sort of understand the patterns, essentially, and understand the audio, especially with the multimodal aspects of these models. You know, it started with whales, and it's finally made its way to dogs.
Wait, what?
Explain.
Now, yes. See, so, what is it? Oh, my God.
We discovered just as a species, you know, not too long ago, I say that in comparison to the tens of thousands of years we've been on the planet, that, you know, dolphins communicate to each other, right? They use some sort of sound waves to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Potentially even telepathically, but we're not quite sure yet. And then we know for a dead fact that whales do this, right? And they use these sounds to communicate with each other over super, super long distances.
Yeah.
Oh, what are they saying? Right. And the same thing with chimps, the same thing with any other animal, realistically. With chimps, we have this sort of non-tech break tech kind of, I don't know how you want to call the evolution of language. It's not really a technology. It's more of a utility. But we had a slight breakthrough when we used sign language and we could teach sign language to chimps and we could kind of have language back and forth.
Yeah.
Now it's the collar. So it's the collar that can analyze the bark. It's the same way in which we had a technology that you could put up to your
phone. No.
Except now it analyzes the vocals that are coming through and it puts that against a potential pattern based on the breed, based on the background, based on everything. And it tries squirrel. To.
No, I don't want to know that my dog doesn't like its food. I don't want to know that the dog thinks my butt smells. Whatever it's thinking, I need to know.
No.
See this. I don't know about this one right here, bro.
I mean, I look at it.
Give you a heads up that something might be wrong based on the smell of your butt.
Well, so like service dogs. Okay, see you. Why has it got to be the smell of my butt? Anyway. But service dogs would be real interesting, right? Like, because they're already trained to, like, you know, diabetes, heart stuff, anxiety. So now in that light, it becomes very intriguing and interesting. But in your everyday average run-of-the-mill backyard mutt dog who's just like, let's be honest, usually a pain in your butt anyway. Like, you don't want him to be able to verbally flip you the bird. Because you didn't give him his bone in time or something. Like, anyway.
I mean, and now we can. There is
that. We got their owners that
yeah, bring yeah. Us. I don't like that guy. Everywhere.
Or just be like, okay, are you really a sport animal or are you just having fun today? Like, you're just trying to come somewhere you're not able to come usually.
Yeah, can you imagine you're walking into like Lowe's and your dog's like, she's lying.
Yeah, it's a fake limp. It's not a real limp. She's been doing it for years. Yeah, I mean, speaking I think of, about
positive uses.
Oh, just that it is. Yeah,
the wrong way to think about this application, probably.
Oh, right, right. And it's kind of funny because, you know, this comes on like the cusp of Dario's essay that he just released, sort of where he was attempting to solely speak to the positive turnouts of AI and then what would, you know, be our future. It just made me stop and think. I had the same thoughts as you guys, but then that was interrupted by Disney. And I was like, we watch movies where we wish our pets could talk to each other and like wish that they could talk to us. So is it going to be weird? Like, I think a lot of owners will use it off and on, almost like, I don't know how it's going to work out for the dog because, you know, you put the collar on and it's like, please don't take it off.
Yeah, right.
But
thank God.
Yeah, like I see it being a thing where every owner is probably going to have one just out of curiosity. Most owners, I think, are going to have one just out of sheer curiosity to want to know what it is that their dog is thinking or their cat is thinking. Like, I know nobody wants to hear what cats are saying because we all know how that works out. But I think it presents a very interesting. Yeah, we thought about this future where we are communicating with each other differently, where we are working with each other differently. How often have we thought about a future where we are communicating with other things, with other animals, with other beings?
Not until this morning. Not until like 7 minutes ago. But listen, when I woke up this morning, if you would have given me, I'll give you $500,000 if you can guess the conversation you're going to have this morning, I'd be a total loser. Yeah.
That's why we got Nico. He goes deep.
Man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this though.
With like a nice Sam Altman fireside chat, and then he's like, "We're gonna talk about dog collars."
Yeah. Well, so here's my question though. Like, so tie it in because this is Wake Up with AI. Tie in dog collars that now your dog can tell you it's not hungry and just put the food away to like AI. Like, how are these tying together this morning?
Okay, well, so we're using the AI as part of the technology that is understanding what the dog is trying to tell us, right? So it folds in that sense. And then here's another aspect of it where, I mean, this is, we're talking about trained animals, but we're also talking about potential futures. So I'm talking about specifically trained animals at this point, which think about that, right? We talk about like how this boosts the economy into the future. And so training your animal now becomes a lot easier. So even the thought of like using dog trainers more becomes a whole thing. Dog trainers in general who specify in AI, like AI trained dogs, however you want to put that, right? It's also possible that through whatever they are translating, now we have this like canine language that we can use to better their medical histories, right? We have all these, like, we have now understandings of when a dog is not feeling right. We have this verbal acuity and this verbal feedback of, oh yeah, this is what makes me happy. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. Now translate that. You want me to, I'll take it round the world, baby. Translate that over to marketing. Hey, Petco, how you like them stats about them dogs, right? Because you think you know based on like, oh, well, this dog ate that food, so they clearly like this food better than that food. Do you? Or was it just that they were so tired of eating the same food that they were like, oh, no, this is way better because I just normally eat that crap, right? Or, you know, maybe the types of toys they play with. We understand that they're partially colorblind. So we would be able to pick up a toy in a store and be like, hey, do you want this one or do you want that one?
I do have some immediate questions I would ask, like, why every time I give you a like fuzzy toy, you rip it in like 50 pieces and I have to pick up the fuzz off my carpet? That's like the first question I'm asking them.
What did the fuzzies do to you?
Like, yeah. What did this little teddy bear do to you that you had to like be so aggressive and like tear it into shreds? Finally, like,
get the inquiring minds want to know. Why would you keep giving these to me? Like, I just rip them to shreds, right, to show you how much I hate them. Like, stop it. Yeah, I think about like the innate warning systems, you know, that other animals have, like when they know something's up, like that kind of application too would be super interesting to prove. Like, so much of this is like proving out theories that we've been trying to build and like based on nonverbal communication, basically, like adding a layer of possible verbal communication. I mean, just, yeah.
It's like, powerful, you know, man. We're in this era of Dr. Doolittle now. Right. Imagine what this does for veterinary. How amazing is it to be a vet technician now and not have to worry about, you know, necessarily talking to the dog about condition or like anything, you know what I mean? Like you're actually talking to your dog now, as opposed to talking to the owner, who the owner pays attention to what just pattern behavior, right? But that doesn't necessarily speak to, are dogs depressed? Do they have any sort of issues? Like, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of questions we aren't able to answer currently that we will be able to answer soon. And again, not just dogs, apply it to, you know, who knows? Who knows how many animals it'll end up being applied to. But fact of the matter is, yes, we have these massive, massive lexicons of sounds of animals that we can now feed into these machines, and using, you know, using their ability to sift through the data and find the needle in the haystack, we can actually derive languages for animals at this point. So it becomes this really amazing zoological change. And the only reason I bring it up is because it's just like, I love to show the examples of where it's going to disrupt things that you didn't think it would. I talk about it all the time when I say like AI is going to be in everything. And I'm sure everybody walks in, you know, thinks about, yeah, okay. Like, you can put AI in my coffee cup? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably going to put it in your coffee cup so that it can sense when your coffee is getting cold and it'll automatically start warming your coffee up. How about that one?
I mean, let's be honest, Internet of Things, right? Whoever thought that you'd have like Wi-Fi in your refrigerator or like, right. Anyway, like it's crazy how this goes. But my question, I have so many feelings right now. Like one, I'm like, I'm imagining going to the vet and, you know, are you allergic to any medicines? You know, and then also it's like, yeah, I'm allergic to this. And the owner's like, you were? I forgot about that.
Exactly. That's right, buddy,
you know? And then of course it'd be like, rah, rah, dumbass. Like that'd basically be like the next phase of it, right? And you're like, oh, come on. Like, I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can. And so like now, then I think about how there's people out there like, oh yeah, that's our fur baby. Oh, now you're really going to know what it's like to have kids, because that thing can start to talk back to you. Like, and then I'm like, how far is too far? Like, do I really want my fish in my aquarium behind me to be like, bloop, 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 bloop? And it's like, hey, dude, you haven't fed me in 2 days. No, not really. Like, maybe. I mean, I have fed my fish, so don't like call anybody, because I take care of them. OK, I take care of the fish. Where do you draw the line? Like, I don't know. And also, did you just do this because you knew it'd be impossible for me to actually tie it to the like skill of the day? Because
It was a challenge. No. It was kind of a challenge. Yeah. I was just like, I don't think there's any way that you could, but I'm interested to hear what the skill is, because yeah, I want to see if maybe I could tie it back.
That's my one superpower, is being able to connect things that should not be connected. So let's do it, George.
I mean, I guess at some level, we're going to need somebody who can design the collars. We're probably going to need somebody who will design the manual or the way to actually onboard these things, or the marketer will have to draw pictures to sell the stuff. I don't know. I'm dying here. Anyway, welcome back to another segment of the AI skill that pays the bills. And this one is for the creative listeners. Hey, if you got dogs or cats, it might be for you too. Today, we're diving into one of my all-time favorite topics, creative idea generation. By the way, this is one heck of a creative idea, by the way. Let's just say that. Maybe they put it in AI. Can we build a dog collar that like translates? Anyway, whether you're a designer, a marketer, or just someone trying to come up with the next big thing, talking dog collars, you know that sometimes inspiration can feel like it's hiding behind the corner or a rock. You stare at a blank page, an empty whiteboard, and you wonder, where's that spark when I need it? Well, here's the good news. AI can have your back. Tools like GPT models, DALL-E, Midjourney, Adobe Firefly, Gamma, and Canvas AI features are here to help you brainstorm design concepts, generate fresh ideas, and take your creative projects to the next level. And no, they're not sponsored, but hey, call us. And no, AI isn't there to steal your creative mojo. I've said that a million times in these segments. It's here to amplify your mojo. Remember, like I always say, it's human powered AI assisted. I want you to picture this. You've got a big design project that needs to stand out. You have a rough idea of where you want to go, but you just can't quite get there. Can't bring it to life And this is where AI creative idea generation comes into play. Instead of spending hours or even days staring at a screen, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, wore horse holes through it, you can use AI to kickstart your creative process. You feed your rough idea into an AI tool and suddenly it's generating concepts, angles, and taglines that you might have not have even imagined before. It's like having a brainstorming partner who's always full of ideas, never runs out of energy, and keeps the ball rolling as long as you need. Now, some of you might be thinking, but George, AI isn't human. How can it really be creative? And you're right. AI isn't an artist. It doesn't feel or dream. I mean, before today, I didn't think there was going to be talking dogs and cats. But what does it do? It analyzes patterns pulled from enormous pools of data and presents you with new angles. Think of it this way. You're still the creative genius, but AI gives you more brushes, more colors, more tools to bring your vision to life. You're not handing over control. You're expanding your toolkit. So before we get out of here, let's go ahead and give you some things to think about. All right. Three things that we're going to hit upon here. Bottom line for today's AI skill that pays the bill. AI powered creative idea generation is like having a brainstorming buddy who's always ready to go. You're the creative force. You get the help. You find the golden ideas and you refine it. Remember, stay creative. Stay curious and let AI help you supercharge your next big idea. The magic's still all you. Trust me, creative genius that's probably twitching right now. AI just helps you get there a little bit faster. All right, gentlemen, that's today's AI skills that pay the bills for those people who need to design talking dog collars and weird stuff in the future.
Yeah, I mean... Oh, that man. It does actually please, relate back.
Please let this Wi-Fi hold up so that I can drop this knowledge. Because it kind of aligns with what I was thinking when Nico started kind of describing what could happen here. Like imagine, so not only relying on AI to help ideate, help. I mean, there's so many examples out there right now. And I just finished listening to AI Driven Leader. And it's like those examples where it's like, yeah, I asked for five things. And four of them already had, but the fifth one, man, like I missed that one. And that was the best one. It hit the hardest. It was the most like most creative one that maybe we get there ourselves eventually, but maybe not, most often not. Now imagine AI helping access other pools of inspiration, like a dog with a collar on, like looking at the TV screen a different way than you do. And just says something random, like, oh, shit, that's a good idea. And, like, have you guys seen the movie Arrival?
Yes.
Like, it's so much about language and linguistics and trying to learn about these aliens that have come to Earth. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, like, a part of the process is understanding how their language is built, right? And that they don't even, like, it's not even constructed the same way as ours is. It's like multi-dimensions and time is involved. And like, imagine as we start accessing these other communication systems, like with animals, like what are we gonna find out? And more likely than not, there's a lower level of intelligence at that level. So us as humans in between accessing lower levels that are getting better, but also AI on this side, it's like, man, the possibilities, right? Instead of tell it to me like I'm five, tell it to me like I'm a dog.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How do humans stand up? How do they feel about themselves when this technology gets turned on and all of a sudden it's a dog telling Sam Altman and team the rest of the code they need because it's not lower level? Like, we've only thought everything is lower level because we can't communicate with them. So when all of a sudden this gets unlocked, what if it's not the world that you thought you've been living in? Well, to me, that means that it's time to wake up because it's gonna, you don't know.
Well,
I know.
That's I might like, need a minute after this episode, gentlemen. I might need a minute. Like,
and it's, I mean, it's an interesting thing because what's most interesting about it to me is that, you know, of course, we're developing this thing here in this, you know, at least so far as I understand it, like the first one's here developed in the States. And so, of course, it's also being the first one that's going to be translated to English, right? Which is almost like saying, hey, we're going to choose the hardest language in the world and we're going to go with that one. And I know that people say, this is what's funny. I know people say that Nordic languages are very difficult, right? Like trying to learn Finnish. Finnish is said to be one of the most difficult languages in the world. Maybe from a glossal point of view, from being able to actually say it, to being able to pronounce words and things of that nature, maybe. But from a just linguistics rules of how to speak and how to use language point of view, no, English is by far the worst, the most difficult. We have the largest history of words that we use to mean the same thing. We have like 12 words for practically every single object. And
or one word for 12 things.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, I love the comedians that'll be like, let's just say the word maybe like arse, but you know, the real word, and they'll use it 12 different ways, but it's the same word. It's English.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up Arrival, because that was actually the way in which I tried to help people understand how to prompt, is to like understand that like the model needs context. So you need to give it context in the same way that somebody doesn't understand the language that you're speaking. You have to explain this part relates to this, this part relates to that, that relates to this. This was back in GPT-3.5, so it's a little bit different now. You have to explain a lot less in that sense, but I'm sure this is what's hilarious. This is what's funny to me. I'm sure that you all remember about a year ago when we were doing nothing but coming up with, hey, you are going to take on the persona of this, that, the other thing. And I mean, I have pages, bro, pages in a Google Doc of persona for a RevOps, persona for a writer, persona for this, persona for that. And it was all primers that I used to use. I don't use any of that anymore, right? So things to think about in terms of like how the model is also evolving as you're using it, right? So things that you used to have to even do probably last year in terms of how you talked to the model and how you guided it, you probably don't have to do this year. You probably won't have to do next year. So the interpretability, to your point, here's what's scary. One time, I don't know how many other people.
Wait, now you're going to get to what's scary? The thing that we talked about at the beginning wasn't scary for some people? No. Oh, no. Okay.
Whenever I say that, you have to understand that I'm applying the here's what's scary to the thing I just said like 10 seconds ago.
Oh.
The scary part about the animals, I'm not going to touch on. The scary part about the linguistics, though, is that if you ask GPT, do you understand the colloquial use of the word minute? It will tell you all definitions that are used. It will tell you it's a measure of time. It will tell you that it is a slang measure of time to mean a short amount of time, slang measure of time to mean a medium amount of time, and or slang used to mean a long amount of time, depending on the context of where the word is in the sentence. So if you say, I'll be back in a minute, it knows you're going to be back in a little bit. But if you say, man, so GPT, we haven't talked in a minute, it understands that you mean we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
I think maybe use that understands word loosely, but yeah.
I mean, what does understanding mean? It means
that's a whole nother episode.
I think that's what's about to get proven if we truly do access these other communications, because I'm sure some animals will immediately just communicate much more clearly than humans do. Mm-hmm. And it'll be curious to think about things like, because at some point biology and the brain are involved, and if you have a smaller brain, in theory, there's less that can happen. And as AI is just a brain that uses 100% instead of humans that use 10%, we're about to see how much of that 90% like we actually don't need and we just developed because we're scared. It's just fun to think about, for me at least. Not scary at all.
As much as you may or may not like the conversation, it's time to wake up with AI.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning, and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.